Hoogenfeng, welcome to Conversation With. Why the death penalty? Why use that as a topic?
Well, I've always been quite socially conscious myself, and I enjoy working with topics that are larger, that I can perhaps contain within a more intimate and personal narrative. And that's what I found, I think, when I was thinking about an executioner and what his point of view might be when it comes to the death penalty, what he goes through, the emotional and psychological journey of this person. So, and this is a point of view that I think is quite lacking in a lot of the narratives that have been made about the death penalty.
Because they're usually seen from the point of view of the person who's going to be executed.
Exactly. So I thought this duality of this this personality could be very interesting, and I was genuinely very curious about this point of view myself.
You weren't afraid that it was a rather sort of off-putting subject for many moviegoers because it feels very heavy?
Yeah, I mean, it is a heavy topic, but I think the human drama of it, and with the secrets and what the story brings with it, you know, between the characters and the secrets and the dynamics, I think so long as the story is engaging, it will make a good movie.
Take off the hood. Bila Chief jadi executioner?
34 tahun dah. Aku dah buat lebih 600 kali.
Be very curious about this point of view myself.
You weren't afraid that it was a rather sort of off-putting subject for many moviegoers because it feels very heavy?
Yeah, I mean, it is a heavy topic, but I think the human drama of it, and with the secrets and the what the story brings with it, you know, between the characters and the secrets and the dynamics, I think so long as the story is engaging, it will make a good movie.
You did quite a bit of research for this film. You talked to former executioners as well. What were some of the things that these executioners said to you that really stuck in your head?
Well, they had different ways of rationalizing how things were done, and they saw things quite differently. For one of them, he saw it really just as his job. You know, if no one else is going to do it, he would do it. He was able to kind of bring himself to do it. So, and he really just saw it as a duty. The other one that I spoke with was more interesting, I guess. He was describing to me how at the end of the drop, you hear this crack, and then life, the soul is gone, the life is gone. And the way he described it, and he said it a few times, actually, you could see in his eyes that there's something about the power that comes with ending someone's life, much like how a doctor saves someone's life. When you have to end someone's life over and over again, I think it does something to a person. And I saw it in this gentleman that I spoke with, and it was that from that experience that I wanted to I wrote some of it into the script of the film, and how Rahim relates to his job, and whether or not it was purely through rationalizing that he was able to do it, or was there something more in terms of how he saw his role in ending one's life. So these were some of the takeaways that I had when speaking with these former executioners. I also spoke with religious counselors who had walked with inmates on their final walks, and how some of them reconciled their religious beliefs with the fact that they are a part of the system too. And also families of those who had been executed, especially breadwinners, so that to understand the traumas and the struggles that some of these families might have been through when their their breadwinners had been executed. Yeah.
Talking about the traumas that some of these people go through, the families, you've had some tough experiences from people who've watched your movie or heard mm-hmm. about your movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was this one experience in Hong Kong when I was there to promote the film on its release. And it premiered at the Hong Kong Asian Film Festival. And there was this lady who came up to me. She revealed that she's Singaporean, but she's living in Hong Kong now, and her sister was executed in Singapore. And she acknowledged that, you know, her sister did something wrong. She was punished for it. But for her as a sister, and for the rest of her family members, they couldn't for a long time sort of understand or see what she might have been going through, especially in her last days, because they had no access to her beyond just regular visits. So the reality that her sister might have lived through was always a huge question mark for her. And in watching the film, she actually managed to find some answers, even though it's fiction. But I think that reality that she was finally able to see through the film gave her some answers. And to me, as a filmmaker, that was extremely rewarding, because I didn't make the film to provide answers. I mean, I made the film to raise questions. But somehow, I mean, the wonderful thing about these stories is that they find their way that to people's hearts and to different audiences and with different levels of resonance. And to this person, it actually gave her some answers. So,
and perhaps some consolation.
Exactly. So that to me was one of the most special experiences that I had in interacting with audiences with the film. Yeah.
Do you believe in the death penalty? You seem to be very balanced in this movie. You neither come out very clearly one way or the other, for or even against capital punishment. Do you believe in the death penalty?
It hasn't changed my point of view. I am against the death penalty because I don't believe the state should have the right to take life. That's a sort of a fundamental position that I take and I believe in. And over the course of researching and writing, and even during directing, when I'm speaking with the actors, I recognize that many people have differing views, and I probably hold the unpopular view for being against it. But I still feel that as a society, it should not be something that is kept out of sight and out of mind. Because we are essentially taking life. So if we say that we are for it, we should often take a hard look at it and understand all the different parts that come with it, including families of those who had been executed, how society takes care of them, does society take care of them in any way? And also, I mean, the people who are empowered to do this, you know, and that's what, in a way, Apprentice tries to look at.
But what about the people who have, you could argue, suffered even more? And that is the victims of the persons who have committed the crimes, because that aspect, you must admit, is not represented in the film.
Personally, I believe a more restorative and a more rehabilitative form of justice, as opposed to one that is retributive.
And so you don't like the eye for the eye kind of idea in it?
And I don't think that's the role of the law, you know. I think when we talk about law and order, and we talk about why laws are in place, there is supposed to be a deterrent factor to the law, and that tends to be what the position that the government takes when it comes to having the death penalty.
Did you worry that you weren't doing the conventional Hollywood thing? Because the characters in the film, and in fact in many of your films, are fairly ambivalent. They are not perfect, heroic individuals.
Because if I was here to make us a film that provides answers, I would have made a very different film. I think sometimes it is necessary for us to be asking questions. I mean, I've heard comments that, you know, why don't you tie it up in a neater package so that it becomes something that people can leave feeling more satisfied with. But I don't think that needs to be the role of a movie. I think the conversations should continue beyond the film. And if some of these questions stay with the viewer as they leave the theater, or maybe even days after they leave the theater, then I think the film has kind of changed something or brought something into a person's life that they otherwise wouldn't have considered.
When I went to see the movie, at the end of the movie, you show the protagonist, Ayman, standing there by the lever, and it's unclear whether he actually pulls the lever to actually carry out the execution or not. In fact, you cut it just exactly at that point. In fact, somebody in the theatre, a young woman in the theatre, actually swore out loud when she saw that you'd done that. In other words, you didn't give the answer. So let me ask you, does Ayman actually pull the lever? Or does he back away?
No, I don't. Well, first of all, I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen the film. And secondly, for people who have seen the film, I don't want to take this question away from them. I think...
You don't have the answer in your head that you're willing to tell us.
Let's just say that I have shot it in one way or another, and I...
Oh, so you did shoot it with him actually either pulling the lever or stepping back?
I have them.
Junfeng, do you ever censor yourself? Try to make yourself more acceptable, not touch on more controversial issues because you're afraid that it might, you know, get you the wrong rating?
No, I think if we started to make films based on the kind of ratings we want from a film or getting worried whether or not a film will be censored, then the film or the work will lose its honesty. And to me, that honesty is very important. I mean, if a film ends up being banned, it ends up being banned. I mean, it will find an audience somewhere else. I think that's the sort of the principle that I go by. But I think in general, my approach to stories is in really trying to find the humanity within some of these issues. And so I do think that there are sensible ways of doing it, and so I don't see why they would need to be censored.
And do you see it as particularly Singaporean in its issues? One of the big magazines reviewed your film and said that it was a Singaporean issue, the death penalty. Do you agree?
No, it's not. I mean, the death penalty applies to many, many societies in the world. In some, they are dormant. In some, they are very active. And it remains a contentious issue, even in societies that have abolished it. So I think it remains a very pertinent issue. It's a very emotional issue. People people do feel anger towards perpetrators. People do rationalize it in their own ways. And so it varies from individual to individual, belief systems to belief systems. So I think it is an issue that pushes us quite often to need to make a decision on where we stand. I just hope that some of these decisions have taken into consideration some of the perspectives that the film has addressed. As a relatively young filmmaker, I've always felt sometimes a little bit inadequate in not knowing life enough to be making the kinds of films that I want to make.
Okay, now we're going to get to the personal bits. Mm-hmm. Do you love your parents?
Yes, of course I do. I love them to bits.
That's very interesting because actually your films, from now, Apprentice, Sandcastle earlier, has protagonists who do not live with their parents. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think for me, the starting point for featuring family a lot in the films that I've made so far is precisely because I think family was a point of entry for me into understanding life. As a relatively young filmmaker, I've always felt sometimes a little bit inadequate in not knowing life enough to be making the kinds of films that I want to make. The filmmakers that I look up to are all in their, at the youngest, in their 50s or 60s. And sometimes when I see those films, I leave the cinema feeling like, wow, this is a life lesson and this is something that, you know, I feel like I've lived vicariously through these characters in understanding their humanity, in understanding their lives. And I think it does take a lot of wisdom and a lot of life experience to be able to make films like that.
Things you're going to be doing in the future. I mean, you've now done coming of age, so we've done sex, we've done death. Mm-hmm. What's the next thing for you, Junfeng?
I don't know yet, but I do know that I don't know specifically yet what the next thing is going to be about. But I do know that I have an interest in issues surrounding faith, for example, especially in the world that we live in now, where many people are in their own social media bubbles and in their own echo chambers, and we just keep reaffirming our own beliefs within that echo chamber, and very rarely do we look across and engage in a conversation, and we are kind of losing the center, I feel, and that's why the government is always saying they want to try and avoid these polarizing issues, and I think all the more I feel as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, as an artist, to bridge these conversations, to kind of draw things to the middle if I can, because I think the more we look to either ends of the spectrum and not engage with the middle, the harder it is, I think, for society to move forward, because we will never be able to find that that connection. And so I think through stories, I've always believed that we can humanize issues and sometimes difficult issues, so that after watching a film, and you no longer see a topic as merely a topic, but because you've been through it through a story, it becomes a human experience, and with that we empathize a little bit more and we understand a little bit more. And to me, I think the world can use a lot more of that.
Bu Junfeng, thank you very much for being on Conversation With.
Thank you.